Church of Elkton, Kentucky. The Lord has been so good to us, and we come with greetings from the church. We do come with a tinge of sadness. We do have one of our faithful members that is at the point of death, and I came on at the insistence of his family, and we have another member to have surgery yesterday morning after I left. Any members of Northside need surgery or need to get real sick, the best thing to do is let me be invited to a Bible conference, because it happens just about every time. But I'll tell you this, they're wonderful about it. We will stay until the last speaker Thursday night unless we're called. And if we're called, of course, we'll have to go back because of this. But we are thankful this evening that we have the privilege to stand in this pulpit, place that's not any of us worthy to stand, separate and apart from the grace of God. And none of us are qualified, separate and apart from the grace of God. And somebody said that after all these years of preaching, look like Brother Smith, you wouldn't get shook just before time to preach. Well, it doesn't get better, it gets worse, because I'll tell you this, it is a joy, it is an honor to have the privilege to be called to preach the Word of God. Now, there's more to it than that. With that great privilege and with that great joy, there is an awesome responsibility. And that responsibility is to be right in what you preach and be right in what we teach. Because without that, we're doing nothing, and we stand in danger of judgment of God. And we will meet each message that we preach, brethren. We will meet that before the judgment seat of Christ. And so I keenly realize tonight my need for your prayers as I try to speak from the Word of God. I have the subject that the Lord has laid upon my heart. I have the message that I preached this message on one occasion before, and that was at the Northside Baptist Church. In case you think that I would preach something elsewhere, I don't have but one message, and that message is from the Word of God. It might come from anywhere in God's Word, but I don't have but one message, and that message is from the Word of God. And what we want to be is right in what we say. We want to be according to the Scriptures. And what we say then, let anyone think what they will, because if we're according to the Scriptures, we don't have to worry about that one bit. And so, tonight, as we look in the Word of God, look with me in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to read now several portions of Scripture before we bring the message. And you'll understand this as we go on in the message. In the first chapter of the book of Genesis, beginning to read in verse 1, "In the beginning God created the earth, the heaven, and earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. The evening and the morning were the first day." Let us turn and look still forward now into the Gospel of John, chapter 16. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, beginning to read in verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of the world is judge. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." We look still further in the Scriptures, in the first chapter of John, and beginning to read in verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. To him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." We look still further now in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians now, chapter 2. Looking in verses 11 through 16. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God, of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man with man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things, as spiritual, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. One more passage of Scripture before we bring the message. In Hebrews, very familiar to most of us, I am sure, but in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12, chapter 4, I'm sorry, and verse 12, we find this verse of Scripture, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I realize, Billy, may God's blessing be upon the reading of his word this evening, thus far. And I realize this is a rather lengthy scripture reading before we bring the message. We do feel that as the Lord has led us, that he took this in order to give a proper setting to that we were about to preach tonight. God's word, beloved, is sharp as a two-edged sword. As we said in the last reading there, dividing asunder even the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All right, secondly, we think for a few moments then, we're told here and brought to believe that God's Spirit is a rebuker. He is a convictor of sin. He is a revealer and applier of the Word of God. All right? The Spirit also always, and remember this, if you don't remember anything else that I say tonight in this message, God's Holy Spirit always works with his Word. He works with his Word. He works in and through his Word. He never works beyond the Word of God, nor does he work outside of the Word of God. All right. We're told there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 that we had read there, that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, but because they are, neither can he, because they are spiritually discerned. We're told in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2 there, our first reading here tonight, we're told in the beginning God created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face, upon the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Now, beloved, tonight is the Spirit moved upon the water. Most Bible studiers accept that the water, always where your Bible speaks of water, it speaks of the Word. The water and the Word are interchangeable. So we find, beloved, the Spirit then, if we accept this translation of it, then the Spirit and the Word. God created this universe that we're in, beloved, using the Spirit and the Word. He spoke of us as the Word being God, using the Spirit of God. On day one, he created day and night as the Spirit moved upon the waters. On day two, you would find that in verses 6 and 8, God created out of space. And verses 9 through 13, on day 3, God created all vegetation. And then on the fourth day, you would find through the 14 through 18 verse of this first chapter of Genesis, God created the seasons. Verses 19 through 30, on the fifth day, God created the fowl and the fish and the sea. And keep in mind, beloved, that God, to begin with, it said the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. So we find then, and of course in day 6, we find in chapter 2 and verse 7, God created man out of the dust of the earth. He created man in his own image. And another portion of the creation, it speaks about he created, breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and man become a living soul. Now we say all of this tonight at the offset of this message to establish what we believe to be the authority of the Word of God, that the Spirit and the Word, all right, are the things that God uses to bring about his will and purpose in this world and his will and purpose in our lives. All right. I would ask you the question, just to ponder upon in your heart, what do we believe? Why do we believe what we believe? Now, beloved, we find many answers. In our years of pastoring, we find many different answers to that kind of a thing. We find most people believe what they believe just because somebody else believes it. That's not good enough. Most people believe what they believe because maybe some member of their family that they think dearly of believe it. That's not good enough. We find a lot of people believe what they believe because some favorite preacher believes it or some favorite pastor believes it. Beloved, that's not good enough. Beloved, we need to base our convictions upon the unadulterated Word of God.
Amen.
Beloved, we're on good ground if we will take what we believe from the Word of God, and if we are convicted that it is the Word of God, then let us take our stand knowing that God will honor His Word. And as He said in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, He said it would not return unto Him void. Beloved, tonight everything we build with the Word of God in our ministry and in our churches that we're pastoring, beloved, everything we build upon the Word of God is an eternal thing, because heaven and earth shall pass away, but He said, My Word shall stand forever. So, beloved, tonight we're going to deal with this as the grace of God will permit us to do so, and trust that God will both give me the ability to speak these things that are to be spoke, and give you the ability to hear it, that it might be applied to all of our hearts and lives, that we may go out of this service tonight stronger and more dedicated to God and with more reverence to His Word. Beloved, as we deal with this, as we said, in creation, we believe we have plenty of evidence there to back us up as being the authority of the Word of God. In creation, the Spirit moved upon the water, or the Spirit and the Word. And creation, you had the Spirit, you had God the Spirit, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Word. In the beginning, moved up on the face of the earth, of the waters. Now, beloved, if you will look in Psalms chapter 3 and verse 8, Psalms chapter 3 and verse 8, we find this verse of Scripture. It tells us, Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, thy blessing is upon thy people. Now, first of all, salvation, beloved, is not brought about by some emotional experience. Beloved, salvation is brought about because faith cometh by hearing. We're told in Romans 10 and 17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now let us remember then some thoughts as we share this together. In the third chapter of the Gospel of John, very familiar passage of Scripture, but yet very important. Reading verses 1 through 5. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Beloved, tonight may we be reminded once again that in salvation, it is the work of the Holy Spirit of God. It is the agent of God. And beloved, using the precious Word of God to bring about salvation. This is why that we can shout to the housetops that we are secure in our salvation, because our salvation is not based upon deeds of the flesh. It is by grace that we're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is not of the deeds of the flesh, but, beloved, it is a spiritual rebirth. Beloved, and that spiritual rebirth comes about only as God's Spirit, the agent of God, takes the Word of God and plants it into a lost sinner's heart and brings them to faith and repentance. Amen. All right. So we find by what means, as we said, did God create our salvation and give it unto those that lost and dying in sin. As we said, we're born of water and of the Spirit. Born of the Word and of the Spirit. Beloved, we're in a day when there are those that hold the great evangelistic crusades. I say the great word great underlined. But I would say, and they have them to come down at one stroke of a time, because others, counselors are moving, and they use a psychological effect, and they get so many to move, and then they say, just repeat after me, And maybe they'll give them Romans 10, 9, and 10. There's nothing wrong with Romans 10, 9, and 10. But, beloved, quoting, believing, memorizing Romans 9 and 10 does not in itself bring salvation.
Amen.
It will not bring salvation.
Amen.
Beloved, it takes a work of the Spirit of God. Amen. And I will not. You can do as you please. Your ministry is between you and the Lord. But I would say unto you, I will not deal with a person that comes down the aisle on a Sunday morning or any other service. I will not deal with them with things from the Word of God unless I can ascertain in my own heart that they're being dealt with the Spirit of God. Because the Word of God means nothing to a lost person. It means nothing unless God's Holy Spirit has already took that Word and brought that person to a godly sorrow. The Word of God will mean nothing whatsoever to them. Now we can find those then say, well, you remember this or you remember that. You can take an old parrot and you can teach that parrot to memorize Scripture. I'm sure you could. But that parrot doesn't have a soul to be saved. But that parrot might be able to quote many verses of Scripture, but it does not mean that that parrot is saved. Beloved, the only person that has ever been saved and the only one that ever will be saved is a person that's been saved because of the preaching of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God at a time when it is deemed right by the Spirit of God, at a time, beloved, that God's Spirit deems it time to do so. God's Spirit will plant that Word into that person's heart. There is a conception of the Word, and there's going to be a birth. But I would say unto you, beloved, tonight, that Word of God. So therefore, as we look at this, and as we study all the Scriptures that are before us, and as we search our own hearts and our minds, and as we take an inventory of our own ministry, may God give us grace that we stay away from things that are not according to the Word of God.
Amen.
Beloved, we are living in a day where dime store evangelists are busy, so-called busy. But I would say unto you, and I call it dime store because everything they're peddling is nothing but cheap junk.
Amen.
I would say unto you, beloved, tonight, I do not have any time for them. I do not have any time to stay in their evangelistic crusades. I do not have any time for their books or their consultations, beloved, because if they're wrong at one place, I can't trust them anywhere. If they violate God's Word, if they depart from God's Word at one place, then I can't trust them at any place. So, beloved, somebody say, well, they've got the truth on salvation, but they don't have it on anything else. I'm not going to trust them with that salvation either. I was saying to you, if they will twist the Word of God in order to get a decision, or if they will twist the Word of God after they've gotten a decision, and I don't like to even use the word decision, but I would say unto you, if they change the Word of God concerning serving the Lord with their life, then I can't trust that they haven't changed it on salvation.
Right.
All right. Salvation is created by God the same way that God has done everything that He's ever done. And from a creation until this present day, everything that God has ever done, beloved, He's done it by His Word and His Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved, whatever we've got, if it's been brought about by the Word, we're on good ground.
Amen.
Beloved, somebody said that He's given us different means and we work in different ways. He allows us a lot of leeway. He does not.
Amen.
He allows us the Word of God.
Amen.
Whatever God's Word
Amen.
Teaches, and when a person goes beyond the Word of God, they become a heretic.
Amen.
I don't care whether he calls himself an independent, a southern, or general, whatever he calls himself. If he goes beyond the Word of God or stops short of the Word of God in his work, beloved, he is a heretic.
Amen. Amen.
All right. God's Spirit moves. In the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John now, for a little while longer. Let's deal with this. Now, John chapter 16, and we begin to look, and we look in verse 7 first of all. Of course, verse 7 tells us, nevertheless, it is expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. If I go away, I'll send him unto you. Now, I could bring a message tonight, but the Lord's not leading that way, on the great comfort of the Holy Spirit of God. I counseled with this family just not long ago that's got this loved one that's dying, and the only person I could direct them to was the Spirit of God, because I had no words that's acceptable. But I would say unto you, beloved, that Holy Spirit of God then, in verse 8 it tells us, when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. This is what I meant a moment ago when I said, unless God's Spirit is dealing, How then, beloved? It means nothing. The Word of God means nothing to a person that's lost in sin unless that person has been brought under the convicting, has been overshadowed with the convicting power of God's Holy Spirit. And then God's Word will mean something to them. I remember one person in particular in the years that I pastored Northside Baptist Church, about 16 or 17 years ago, one Sunday morning. I had visited a man many, many times in his home. And I had always spoke to him and told him from the Scriptures where that he was lost and needed to be saved. It didn't mean anything to him. But I looked up one Sunday morning, and that man that had found every excuse that you can imagine not to ever come to church, that man was sitting there that Sunday morning. And when we preached and the Word of God and gave invitation, that man came forward. And beloved, as he grabbed a hold of my hand, he said, "Brother Smith, just let me cry out to God for salvation." He said, "I can't stand it any longer. I do remember the Scriptures that you told me about."
Amen.
That's been 18 years ago. That man's still there. He's still serving the Lord. Beloved, you know why he's still there? It's not because Mitchell Smith had the ability to hold him. It's not because I had any ingenuity about me in the way that I pastor. Because it's only a miracle of God the way that I pastor the whole church don't get scattered. But I would say to you, beloved, tonight, by the grace of God, that man was brought to salvation. And that salvation has endured the test of time. That man's home has been torn all to pieces. But I will tell you, beloved, the man is still serving the Lord. And the reason he's serving the Lord is because the salvation that he has is of the Lord. And it was brought about by the Spirit and the Word. Beloved, we worry ourselves deaf about church members who won't serve the Lord. We need to pray for them to be saved most of the time.
Amen.
All right? Amen. Let's deal a little further now. The Word of God then, in that 13th verse of this 16th chapter of John, still talking about the Word and the Spirit now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, when the Spirit of truth has come. Did not Christ, when he prayed that great prayer in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, did he not pray, "Father, sanctify them through thy truth"? Did he not say, "Thy word is truth"? All right, here we are again. We got the same message right here that we got out of the first chapter of the book of Genesis. In this 13th chapter, the 16th chapter of John and 13th verse, we've got the same message. It is done and it is brought about by the Spirit and the Word.
Amen.
Now, beloved, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth.
Amen.
Now, beloved, dear ones, I was saying to you, as pastors and as brothers in the Lord and friends, I may talk to you many times about a problem that I've got in the church. But I also want you to know and realize I talk to you because I have got confidence in you. But I also want you to know that I know that you can't solve that problem. But I also want you to know that when I talk to you, then I feel like you will then pray for the problem and in praying for the problem, if I'm ignorant of what it takes from the Word to do it, God will direct me to the Word. That's why that I talk to you. So if I weary you sometime, just go on and pray for me. But I would say unto you, beloved, that is my reason for that. It's not because you can solve my problem.
Amen.
I know that. But I would say unto you, beloved, tonight, the only thing that can solve a problem in the church, beloved, and regardless of what kind of problem that may be, the only thing that can ever settle that problem is the Spirit and the Word.
Amen.
The only thing that ever can settle.
Amen.
I have fell on my face so many times as a pastor of a church. Prayed, "Oh God, give me wisdom. Give me knowledge. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do about this problem. It seems like everything I do about it is wrong. And I'm ignorant of what you've got, what I need to know and reveal it to me." You know something? We have a precious verse of Scripture. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and he'll freely give it. And I will say unto you, this is where we get our answers at. But beloved, again, we're not off of our subject. We start with the creation of the universe. We start beloved, with man being created, and we continue to salvation that has came to a man or to a person's heart, and then we go on further. God using His Word and His Spirit. All right. Salvation applied now. In the third chapter of John, again. Third chapter of John, and again we'll look at verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, born of the Word, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Let some of you dime store evangelists try that on for size. I'm serious. I'm not saying something that I know. I'm just telling you what the Word of God did. Let them try that one on. Beloved, it's not brought about the gimmicks. It's not brought about the tricks. And that is not a method that God has given His church to use. He's given His church one thing to use. He's given His church the truth of His Word to use. He has not given it, and when we deviate from that, we're in trouble with the Lord. All right, salvation is applied then, and I'll tell you how I know tonight that I'm saved. I do remember a time I had an emotional experience. I do remember that. I do remember a time I can go back to when I actually repented of my sin and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. But I have got emotional over many things. I got emotional over a 16-year-old collie dog one time that died. The dog was as old as I was. But I got emotional over that, but that didn't save me. What I'm saying to you, beloved, I remember a particular thing, though, at a time when I felt myself the lost of the lostest. I felt myself the worst of the worst. And, beloved, I realized that I was doomed, and my life was ruined, and my soul was destined for hell. But all thanks be unto God that God's Word was preached unto me. And then I cried out to God, and by the Word that had been preached to me, He took His Holy Spirit and brought me to conviction and granted me salvation.
Amen,
brother. Now, you can't disagree with that if you believe 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10 says, "Godly sorrow, work of salvation, work of repentance, unto salvation, and not to be repented of, nor to be turned from." All right. This is what's so wonderful about the Word of God, is the fact that what it does forever. We quoted a while ago, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but He said, my Word shall stand forever." All right. Let's deal a little further now. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Acts 2 and verse 41. Let's bury this together for just a little while. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Let's talk about what had happened prior to Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. First of all, the church had came together as they had been told to do so on the day of Pentecost. They had already been organized, had already been organized by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, placing the apostles in the church, first of all. And beloved, we find that as they met together, in one place in one accord on the day of Pentecost, beloved, the Apostle Peter stood in their midst. And he declared the Word of God. He preached the Word of God unto them. And after he had preached the Word of God, now there we've got the Word. Now follow me, we said he uses the Word and the Spirit. God's Word was preached. Then, beloved, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, and when they heard this, or when they heard what? They heard the Word. The Apostle Peter had preached the Word. And when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart, or they were grieved in the heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Beloved, I challenge anybody to show me that they said, "What must we do to be saved?" Now, salvation was something they needed. But they said, "What must we do?" And the Apostle Peter, I'm not afraid of Acts 3. 2:38. This is one Baptist that's not afraid of it. Beloved, Acts 2:38, the Apostle Peter told them what to do to get saved, and then he told them how to find God's will for their life, to be in God's will. Amen. Using the Word. You follow this now. Using the Word. Now the Spirit, the Word was preached, the Spirit was at work, and he convicted or he grieved the heart of X amount of people, and we'll talk about how many that was in a few moments. But I would say here, as we look at this for a little while, then we find in Acts 2:41. In And they that, look at it again. Here we got the word. Then they that gladly receive the word. How many? They that gladly receive the word were baptized, was added unto them about 3,000 souls that day. Beloved, the word brings the truth to a person's heart that has been saved. The word brings conviction, repentance, and salvation. And then the word brings the truth on how to serve the Lord. Amen. To tell them to be baptized because their mama was is not worth a dime. Tell them to be baptized because Uncle so-and-so was is no count. But tell them, beloved, they need to follow the Lord's scriptural baptism just as sure as they're saved, because the Bible, the Word of God, says so. That's why. And I will say unto you again, it takes the Spirit to apply that too. Beloved, I was saved, and it was over 3 years from the time I was saved before I was baptized. But I'll tell you what, God in due time saw that I had the truth about salvation. And I'll tell you why. And this, and I'm not afraid of this word either. I'll tell you why he saw that I had in due time, because I was the elect. I will say unto you, it was predestinated for me. But I will say unto you, beloved, tonight, that in due time, I do not know why it was 3 years. I don't know why it was 3 years. I don't know all the details on that. But I know one thing. From about 3 years after I was saved, God's Spirit moved upon me. With the preaching of the word, I heard the word preached. I heard the word about baptism. I accepted what the word said because God's Spirit gave me the grace to do so. Amen. We've had quite a few to join Northside Baptist Church over the years. We've had to not rebaptize them. We've had to baptize them. I'll tell you something. The very minute one of them wants to join, they want to start arguing with me about the truth about Bible baptism, the church ordinance Bible baptism, I quit talking on that. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't want no add-ons. I don't want no add-ons. And I'm not going to use any psychology on them to try to convince them that they ought to be baptized. I'll tell you this much, if God's word don't convict a person need to be saved, there is no hope for them. And if God's word don't bring a person to the truth on baptism, there is no hope for them to ever be in the true church. All right? The Word of God then, beloved, tells us then, as we said, it brings a person after they're saved, and hopefully that, and in most of the cases, it certainly won't be 3 years. Most of the time, it's almost immediately. I will say, I can know of one gentleman that was 72 years old when he was saved. And I was talking to him in his home one Saturday morning. He made a profession of faith, genuinely saved, as far as I am concerned, and have always believed. And I said, brother, the scripture tells us here that you are to follow your Lord in scriptural baptism at your earliest possible time. He was sick. He was in bed with flu. And he didn't have any education, and he didn't know how to express himself. But he said, Brother Smith, said, when you going to have your next baptizing? That's the way he expressed it. I said, well, I've got something to baptize tomorrow afternoon. He said, I've been saved, and I'm 72 years old. And I believe what you told me about salvation, and I believe what you're telling me about baptism. Will you baptize me tomorrow evening? I said, if the church will authorize me to do so, I will. So that next morning, that man come walking down the aisle, trembling as he walked down with his stick, with his cane. He united with Northside Baptist Church, and that afternoon I baptized him, and for 12 years, from the time he was 72 till he was 84, he walked with the Lord. And I'll tell you what, I've got people in Northside Baptist Church right now that he introduced me to them. He introduced me to them, beloved, when they were lost in sin, because he knew they was out there needed to be saved. But I'll tell you what, beloved, I tried it by the grace of God. And we're all tempted, beloved. We want to see things with our eyes. But, beloved, leave those things alone. Stay in the Word of God. If it's been a year since you've saw anybody saved, leave that in the hands of God. Amen. Don't try to make things happen. Just preach the Word of God. Amen. We get lonesome sometimes to see people saved. Sure we do. And there's not a one of us that wouldn't want to see a whole bunch of people saved every Sunday morning. But I'll tell you what, beloved, and when I preached that man's funeral, it was like my preaching my dad's funeral all over again, because he'd been that to me in the flesh. But beloved, I thank God that I didn't go, that God gave me the grace not to give in to temptation and try to talk him into anything. I'm not trying to talk anybody into anything. If I ever done that, I quit that long time ago. But I'll tell you something, beloved, if God's word don't move them, if God's Spirit don't use his word and move them, you can't do anything for them anyway. Baptism is a revelation of the Spirit of God. Then the true church is a revelation. I liked what one of the brothers said the other day. When Brother Garner and Brother Harvey and Brother Clark and I were preaching at the place last Saturday, and one of you used that you talked about that circle and that inner circle. And I one of you talked about the inner circle. I want you to know, beloved, tonight that there is an inner circle. Beloved, they're put in that inner circle by the moving power of God's Holy Spirit in relation to his word.
Amen.
I was saying to you that the truth on how to live for the Lord also, we'll get to that in a few moments. The truth about the church. I'll just give this in passing. You can disagree with it or you can do as you like with it. But the truth about the church is always visible. It's always missionary. And God's the one that always sets the members in it.
Amen.
Regardless of how big a membership roll you've got, how big a brag board you've got on the front or your back, you ought to them. Let me tell you something, beloved. Regardless of how big it is, amen, God has members, and you probably have some, but they may not be the same ones. But I was saying to you, beloved, that God, all right, we had a lady that had, I'll use that word loosely, we had a lady that had been disciplined from our church, and she come back and wanted to scream at me a little bit about it. She said, I want you to know I done went and joined me another church. So that pastor said, you could take your church discipline and go anywhere you wanted to with it. I said, well, just let him say all anything he wants to say. I don't care what he says. It's not going to bother me. Oh, I say it may irritate me a little bit, but as long as the 16th, as Matthew 16 and 19 is the word of God, you haven't joined nobody else's church. You'll be a member of Northside until such day. You're out of fellowship and you'll be there until such day as Northside Baptist Church turns you loose from it. And your Northside Church, as long as I'm pastor, won't never turn you loose from it until you've shown repentance. I was saying to you, beloved, tonight that we practice the Word of God. I'm not proud of the fact we had to. I'm proud that that church rose up and said, we won't take this. I'm proud of that. But I would say, beloved, to you tonight, as we look at this and as we deal with it a little further, truth then about the church then is brought about by the applying of the word by the Spirit. I'm in a true church that I thank God for. I've been in the true church for over 30 years. That I thank God for. I sure can't thank Mitchell for it. And I sure cannot thank a dear pastor that's gone on to be with the Lord. Now I cannot thank him for it. And I cannot thank anybody else for it. Because I didn't get into the true church because somebody talked me into it. I got into it by conviction, and that conviction was brought about.
Amen.
By what? By the Spirit and the Word. The
Amen.
Conviction was brought about by the Spirit and the Word. Now, beloved, that's why that I can rest at ease in Northside Baptist Church when there's time to rest. I'll say this, I can rest at ease that I have the truth. I said to the people there, I said, no, we know we're the true church. We know it from the Scriptures. And we know it from the way that God's blessed. But I would say unto you, beloved, I said, let us hold to the unadulterated word of God. Now, briefly now, the truth on how to live for the Lord is also a revelation of God's Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, thank God for it. It's there. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. You know this one by heart. Most pastor does, or at least I pray to God you do. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. The Spirit and Word. Beloved, brought the church into men. Beloved, the true church was revealed to me from the Word of God. And I'm a Baptist by conviction and not by convenience. Tell you what, I'm a Baptist not because my folks were Baptists. They wasn't always Baptists. And I don't know how good a Baptist they were when they died. I believe they were saved, but I don't know how good a Baptist they were. But I will say unto you, beloved, this afternoon or over this evening, that if we will hold to what God's Word says, just remember, say, there, as we talked about earlier then, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Lord, neither can he, because they are spiritually discerned. Always remember that, beloved, in our ministry and our pastoring, whether you've been in the ministry one day, one year, or whether you've been in the ministry 50 years, don't ever forget that anything that happens for the glory of God will happen because God's Spirit took His Word and done it. Anything that happens for the glory of God. Now, beloved, to Him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Beloved, then the truth on God the living. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 will be there as long as God's Word is there. God's Word will be there as long as the world stands. God's Word will be there throughout eternity, because He said heaven and earth shall pass, but He said my Word shall stand forever. Beloved, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed from this world by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Once again, we go back to the Spirit and the Word. Amen. Beloved, by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. Listen, folks. And I know that you hear this. I know that your pastor believes this. Thank God that he does. And other pastors here believe this. Know that I'm not preaching anything new. Let me say, don't you freeze up. Don't you accept the truth of God's Word about salvation, the truth of God's Word about baptism, the truth of God's Word about the church, and then go to freezing up when you hear the truth of God's Word about how to live for the Lord. This has been my experience. They accept the truth on salvation. They don't call every Dick, Tom, and Harry over the country, see if Brother Smith told them right on how to be saved. They don't do that on the church. They don't do that on baptism. But when I go to talking to those women and those men both about how to dress, they go calling some heretic, see what he thinks about that. All I can tell you is this. You can tell where I've had problems. But I will say this to you, beloved, to call somebody else. And won't know what it is. So I asked a woman one day, I said, why is it that, I said, do you believe you're saved? I said, who told you how to be saved? She said, you told me how. You showed me from the Word of God. I said, how do you know you've been scripturally baptized? I said, well, I've heard you preaching the Word of God. Went on. I said, well, then all of a sudden, now I'm going to start lying to you when I start talking to you about how to dress. I said, you can call anybody you want to, but you won't change the Word of God. It's going to take the Spirit. I told her, she said, well, do you hate me because I won't dress right? I said, absolutely not. If I hated you, you wouldn't be in his house. I wouldn't even let you come in. But I will tell you this, I don't hate you because of it. I pray for you because of it. But you'll never have the peace of God that's available to you until you get in line. The Spirit and the Word brings them to do that. Now I can jump up and down, hoot and holler all I want to, and I'm thrown with the mat, stomp floor. And I'll say that God's going to get you, God's going to whip you, and all of that may be true, but they ain't never going to dress right, and they're never going to separate from the world until the Spirit of God has planted the Word pertaining to it. Amen. So preachers, don't say I'm not going to preach that, because they done decided they backed off from that a long time ago. Somebody told me one day, said, we done lost the battle on that. I said, we may have. I don't know, but I know one thing. As long as that is in God's Word, I'm not going to quit preaching. If we're going to use that criteria, we're just not going to preach because nobody's going to pay us any attention, then about 98% of what we preach, we're going to have to stop preaching. If we use that criteria. Beloved, I want to say to you tonight, come out from amongst them and be you a separate people. I was accused in my early ministry that I have a message I preached that said I got on 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I think that was kind of a rebuke to me, because it meant I wasn't getting on it as much as I once did, you see. But I will say unto you, beloved, it's there. And if the only way that you're going to live for the Lord is in and through is to be saved, you'll get saved by the Spirit, with the work of the Spirit and the Word. You'll get in the church. The only way you're going to live for the Lord is in His church. The only thing that's going to bring glory to God is through what's done through His church. You're going to get into that through. You're going to get that because of the Spirit and the Word. And the way you're going to get your rewards is by separating from the world in the church. And beloved, and then you're going to get that from the Spirit and the Word. Now, once again, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be not conformed to the world, but be you transformed from the world, but renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Beloved, somebody said, I had a church member to get mad at him and said, you think you've learned it all? I said, no, I haven't. I have. The further I go, less that I think I know. But I will tell you this, because they want to pop off at me, you know. But I said, I don't know it all, and I don't know half as much as all too. But I will tell you this much, I'm looking forward as I try to live for the Lord, as the work of sanctification is progressed in my life, I'm looking forward to learning other things.
Amen.
If you haven't learned more than you, if you don't know more than you knew a year ago, then there's something wrong. I'm not telling you that you can live for the Lord by in your own flesh, in your own arm of flesh. I know that you can't. The Bible says you can't. But if you're not closer to the Lord and you don't know more about God's Word than you did a year ago, then it's because you're backslid.
Amen. Amen.
The Spirit and the Word.
Amen.
Brethren, folks, by God's grace, I've tried to stay with what the Bible preaches, teaches. And this is the message the Lord has laid upon my heart. Thank you, Brother Titus, Home Church.
Amen.
My brother.
Amen.